We were talking today at the table. It was so unusual how the Lord put two different messages together out of the book of Genesis last night. We tried to talk Brother James into preaching chapter 14 and just keep going on. But we'll go to the New Testament tonight, at least I will. And let's go to the book of John. How about it? John chapter 15 is where we'll start. Blessing to be able to be here and to be able to preach and then sit down and get some preaching myself. Looking forward to that. Well, you do understand that living the Christian life is an impossibility outside of the power and strength of the Holy Spirit. And the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives sometimes goes overlooked, and we try to do the things of the Lord in the energy and power of ourselves, and that didn't work out very well. And tonight I want to look at a few things that maybe are not the typical things that we think about when we think about the power and working of the Holy Spirit in our lives as Christians. We normally talk about, well, things such as salvation, of how, well, just look in chapter 14 of John, he said in verse 16, Jesus said, "I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you." That's a fact of our new birth, a fact of our salvation, that the Spirit of God is in us. The Bible says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. That's a fact of salvation. But we have to move beyond the working of the Holy Spirit just in salvation of our lives. And I'm glad he said in verse 16, he's going to abide with us forever. Doesn't matter what I do or what I don't do, the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, is there abiding with us forever. You know, when John, the Bible says, when Jesus came to John to be baptized of him, and John said something very strange. I never really saw or thought about it before. In John chapter 1, I was preaching through that book, and John said two times, he said that ye knew him not, speaking of the Messiah, and then two times John said, I knew him not. It was, in other words, John didn't grow up knowing Jesus Christ, though they were cousins. He was in the deserts until his showing to Israel. They were not acquainted with one another. But God spoke to John, and God said this, "The one that you see the Holy Ghost descend on and abide on him, that's him." And the Holy Ghost descended upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and he stayed there. It wasn't just a dove event. It was a lifetime. He preached in the Spirit. He was led of the Spirit. He did his workings and his miracles and his teachings through the power of the Spirit of God. And he stayed on him forever. And I'm glad that same Spirit, the Bible says, will abide with us forever as well. That's just a matter of salvation. He also said in verse 26 of John 14, "The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I've said unto you." But there are some other things. And then we talk about the Holy Ghost. We talk about the power of the Holy Ghost to do the service of God. We talk about the work of the Holy Ghost in salvation, the work of the Holy Ghost in my security, the work of the Holy Ghost in service. But drop down to chapter 15, verse 26, and we'll just keep reading through here. I want to talk about some benefits of the Comforter. Some benefits that aren't really necessary. They're not connected with our salvation, our security, or even our service to God, but they're just benefits of the Comforter. You know, have you ever thought about the fringe benefits that come with certain jobs? I mean, you get insurance connected with a job, maybe you get a car connected with a job, or you get some other trips you get to take because you are an employee, and so there are benefits that come with being an employee. Or maybe you fly an airline, so you get some perks and you get to move up because you've got this little card, and there's some benefits of being enrolled in their program. But look, with salvation, with the Holy Ghost, we are not just partakers of the divine nature, and we're not only secure and we're sealed in the day of redemption and we have the power. He gives us power to do the service of God. But there are all types of other benefits that come by having a comforter that the Holy Ghost provides on the inside of me. And I need to allow those things to be a reality in my life with my relationship with Him. Let's read some Bible. John chapter 15, verse 26. But when the Comforter, over and over Jesus is using that word to describe the Holy Ghost. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. Just keep reading. These things have I spoken unto you, chapter 16, verse 1, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogue, yea, the time cometh, that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to Him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. And when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment, of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself. But whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for He shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that He shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. God will bless His Word. Let's pray. Father, we pray that You would help us to enter in to that life that all of us need to live, that name Your name, a life led by and controlled by and filled with the Holy Ghost. And may the reality of Christianity be something that we not just talk about, but something we live, because the Spirit of God brings it forth in our life and character. And we'll thank You for the benefits, and we do thank You for the benefits that You've given us with our Comforter. For You help someone tonight, minister their heart. We'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, first of all, the benefit of a Comforter. After saying all this about the Holy Ghost, Jesus says in chapter 16, verse 1, these things have I spoken unto you. All these things about abiding in Christ, all these things about the Spirit, these things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be what? Offended. Keep reading. They shall put you out of the synagogue. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. The first benefit of the Comforter is that He comforts us when we get mistreated and abused, so that we will not be offended. Do you understand that every time a Christian is offended, it's because they're not walking in the Spirit? Do you understand that the reason that we get put out one with another, and that we have, it's a hard time to take, it's hard to take when something comes my way that is unfair, the reason that that's difficult is because I am not walking in the Spirit, I've not been led by the Spirit, I'm not filled with the Spirit, because the fullness of the Spirit is not just for the power of God to go witness to the multitude. The fullness of the Spirit, and the reason the Comforter is down there, is to comfort me when I get mistreated, so I won't be offended, because if I get offended, I'm going to get bitter, and I'm going to get angry, and I'm not going to continue to do what I'm supposed to do for God. Now that's not the typical message preached about the Holy Ghost. You know what a wonderful church is? A wonderful church is where people aren't offended at one another. And they get along. But that is only possible with people that have a comforter that's ministering to their heart. So-and-so said something nasty to me. Do you have a comforter?
Good, preach it.
Well, you don't know how they treated me. Yes, but do you have a comforter? That said, it's going to be all right. You're going to live. I'm telling you what, we live in a generation where people are so thin-skinned and the slightest little thing knocks them out of service for God and destroys their emotional makeup and they just can't take it anymore. And the premise is, somewhere, I'm trying to walk and live the Christian life without the leadership and the fullness and the power of the Holy Ghost to keep me from being offended. That's the context. They're going to take these disciples, they're going to throw them in jail. They're going to kick them out of the synagogue. They're going to kill them. And Jesus says, be of good cheer. How am I going to be of good cheer? Because there's somebody else living in me that's telling me it's all right.
Amen.
Great peace of they which love thy law, and nothing shall what?
Amen.
Offend them. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. And those that hear the word and have no root in themselves, by and by when affliction, persecution arises for the word's sake, by and by they are offended. But with the comforter, that's not supposed to take place. Jesus said to these same disciples, He says, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. He says, but I'm going to send you a comforter so you'll stop wearing your feelings on your shoulders. I tell you, when we get offended, we're just telling on ourselves that we have no understanding of the comforter. Well, this is going great, but anyway, it's, you know, we hear preaching about suffering for doing right. Well, that's right, but I've got a comforter that helps me through that. That's the only way that Paul and Silas can sit in jail and sing.
That's right.
And sing. Not just endure it, but sing.
Yeah.
Because they are receiving the comfort of the Holy Ghost while they're being mistreated. Why do you need to get filled with the Spirit? Why do you need to walk in the Spirit? Why do you need to be led of the Spirit? Why do you need to cultivate a strong personal relationship with the Holy Ghost? Because you're going to need a comforter. Amen and amen. Well, the second thing. Look at verse 5. He says, but now I go my way to Him that sent me. And none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. Over and over again, He's telling them He is going away. Verse 28. Jesus said, I came forth from the Father and am coming into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. His disciples said to Him, lo, now speakest thou plainly and speakest no prior. They understand now that He's going away. He's going to go to the Father. He's leaving them. But He's not going to leave them alone. He's going to leave a comforter with them that will help them overcome the sorrow and loss of someone leaving them. You know, some people can never get over the fact when things aren't the way it used to be and they lose a helper, they lose all the props of their Christian life, and then they can't get over it. Think about these disciples. For 3 years, 3.5 years, they have watched the Lord Jesus Christ get them out of every jam, answer every question. I tell you what, the most profound, if we could have walked with Jesus Christ for 3.5 years, we would have been so overwhelmed with what He said and what He did and the power that He had, the power in His speech, the power in His voice, the power in His miracles, the power that He had, just total power. And they're trusting, all their hopes and dreams and trust is in this man, that surely this is the Son of God, this is the Christ. And He says, okay, bye, see you later, I'm gone. I'd say there'd probably be a little insecurity there. That's why when they smote the shepherd, the sheep were scattered. And now they've lost the company of one that filled them with joy. There's no more conversations that are going to be had. The fellowship that was so sweet and so strengthening and so helpful. Now Jesus said, I'm gone. What are we going to do? How are we going to get by? Who are we going to call? I've had some dear men of God that He's put in my life. That meant I could pick up the phone and call and get some help and instruction. But that's nothing compared to what Jesus was for them. And now He says, I'm gone. What are we going to do? Well, there's a fringe benefit of being in my family and being saved and having the Holy Ghost in you. He's going to comfort you over that loss so you can keep going. Do you know how many people, when they lose someone in their life, can't keep going? I'm not just talking about loss to death. There's a lot of loss in life today in the church. There are good women that are losing their husbands. There are good men that are losing their wives. There are children that are losing their parents. There are parents that are losing their kids. There are parents that are losing the fellowship of their children. Maybe they can still be alive and you can lose out on all the fellowship and all the togetherness. And I'm telling you right now, some people have a hard time continuing to go on. Sometimes they lose a pastor. Sometimes they lose a friend. Sometimes someone they put so much confidence in them, in totally, I want to use that word, but it's not going to go over, so they just flunk out. And this person that maybe helped them in their Christian life, this person that they looked up to so much, and now they're gone. What am I going to do? If you're saved, there's somebody in you that says, it's going to be okay. Jesus is going away, but it's going to be all right. He's not here to calm the storm. He's not here to answer the question. He's not here to overcome the obstacle. But somebody in you says, it's going to be okay. We still got this under control. And when the loved one's lost, when the friend's gone, and when the mentor fails, and when the fellowship of that one that meant the world to you is no longer there, there is a comforter on the inside that is a benefit built into your salvation that says, you can get over this, you can go on, you don't have to be bitter, you don't have to be vengeful, you don't have to cry out for your rights. But that's not going to be the case without that closeness with that comforter. I tread gingerly on this, but all of this stuff that people have to get them through loss. You don't need a cocktail to get you through the loss. You don't need the pill to get you through the loss. And maybe I've never gone into the depths of those deep sorrows. But the reason we have a comforter is to help us with that sorrow and loss. And He says, there's sorrow in that world. There's tribulation in that world. but I have overcome the world, and you can still be of good cheer. And you don't have to stand at the graveside or at the casket and lose your mind. Unless you have no relationship with the Holy Ghost. Unless you just went to church instead of spending time with God. See, that's the difference. Then you can't handle it. All this stuff about pressure and stress. Why is all the stress? Why is all the pressure? The Comforter helps you deal with that. If you got a good relationship with Him. Man, there are people that none of their spouse... You know what's worse than your spouse dying? Divorce. You know what's worse than your kid dying? Living a life that's like putting a dagger through your heart the rest of your life. What do? You stay close to the Spirit of God. Let Him fill you, guide you, lead you, walk in that Spirit, and He will comfort you in that sorrow. He won't take it away, but He'll comfort you in it. It'll be all right.
Good.
Third benefit of the Comforter. 7. Nevertheless, I tell you that the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. And when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment, of sin, because they believe not on Me, of righteousness, because I go to My Father, and ye see Me no more, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. This is what I call the comfort, the reproof of the Comforter. You know there's comfort in reproof? The Comforter is the reprover. There's something built in my salvation that brings such comfort to me to know that when I get out of line, somebody is going to reprove me so I don't go too far out of line. I never forget that Greek woman got saved in Greece, man. And we hadn't got yet to the discipleship lessons about the Holy Ghost. She'd just been saved a week. And she thought she was losing her mind. Because things that she never thought were wrong, she thought she was going crazy. A voice was talking to her, telling her, you ought not be doing that. She hadn't heard it in church. We hadn't said anything to her. But she thought she was going crazy. Because this routine that she had, she did this and did that and did the other thing, and something inside was saying, no, that's wrong. And was reproving her on the inside. And when we taught her the lesson on the Holy Ghost, she laughed. She said, I'm not crazy. What comfort to know that reproof. I tell you what, can I be honest with you? I'm so glad I am in the church where that Holy Ghost has been put in me to live in me forever and to reprove me. I know how wicked I am with the Holy Ghost. I can't imagine. I'm not saying something type of spiritual now or humble. I'm being dead honest. There is no telling where my life would end up without the reproof of the Comforter. It is an alarm built in as a benefit to my salvation on the inside of me. I am so glad that when I do something that's against God and against His Word, there is something inside of me that feels like going and throwing up.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm talking about? Is you may hear sin besides me. Or if you don't have that, you know what you don't have? You don't have a relationship with the Comforter.
Yeah.
And your conscience is so seared, it doesn't even get through. And we ought to be convicted about a whole lot more things than what we even hear preached about.
Amen.
Amen. I've heard preaching that wasn't 5 miles within spoken words of my problem, and the Holy Ghost is sitting there just digging in my heart. And you sorry little thing. And boy, I'll get on the altar and I'll pray and I'll cry, or I'll get by my bedside or somewhere and say, oh God. And you know what? You get up and you say, oh, it feels good. That's such a blessing to get that off. What a benefit. What's wrong with this world? Why are they on a train to debauchery and evil and darkness? There's no comforter in there that's holding back those reins. You look at that Spirit of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, right? That Spirit of God had a part in giving you that book. The words that I speak, they're Spirit. Inspiration of God and a prophet for doctrine for... That Bible is intertwined with reproof. And that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. The most miserable people in the world are people that are in bondage to their sin. We sang it tonight. Glorious freedom! Glorious freedom! I'm not in chains anymore! Because the Comforter is reproving me. That book reproved. You can't read that Bible without reproof. That's why people don't preach the Bible. There's too much reproof there. I'll preach a message. How could you preach the Bible without preaching reproof when reproof is in the Bible? How could you be filled with the Holy Ghost and never reprove anybody when the Holy Ghost is a reprover? And that's a blessing. I can't tell you how that's a blessing. Do you know what you and I are capable of, church? Thank God for a reprover that turns the alarm on. Some of you have been hitting the snooze button.
Hello.
Instead of embracing that comfort, thank you. Thank you for being so sensitive. No reproof, no comfort. No reproof, no Spirit. He reproves the world of sin. He reproves His own people of sin. That chastening of God, there's the speaking there, and there's a scourging there. There's a working of the Spirit in my heart. There's a pricking in my heart. And not just sins of one type. He says this in verse 9 of sin, because they believe not on me. The reproof of the Holy Ghost that we're not believing God like we ought to believe God. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. He'll reprove the world of righteousness. You know, the disciples watched Jesus Christ, the picture of righteousness, every day of their life. And one day, they didn't have that picture anymore. But they had someone inside of them that constantly reminded them about what was right. Preacher, how do we know in this generation? I bet people come up to me, is this right? Is this wrong? If you've got the Comforter, He's going to talk to you about righteousness. But see, so many Christians, they're like John's disciples of Acts 19. They know not whether there be any Holy Ghost. You know, they think the Holy Ghost is a doctrine.
Right?
Instead of a person. Somebody living inside of them. You ever talk to the one living down inside of you? He's a person. He's not an influence.
Right.
You can grieve him.
Yes, sir.
You ever told him you're sorry? Usually when you grieve somebody, you hurt somebody, you apologize for it. Isn't that what normal people do? Have you told the Holy Spirit lately? I'm sorry. I'm hurting you and grieving you. I apologize. Have you cultivated that relationship with the Spirit of God? If you want comfort in the midst of sin, there's nothing like sin that brings forth such pain and misery. But there's a comfort to keep you away from that. None of us in here have the power to overcome and stay away and get victory from sin. But the one that's inside of us has given us the power to say no and to do right. And and judgment. He's going to judge the prince of this world. He's going to judge the world. He'll judge us all. But, you know, some things, let's just move on. I've got to hurry. I want to hear Brother James, please. Verse 13. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. And He will show you things to come. So He guides you into all truth. He's a guide in our life. You know, if there is such a comfort in knowing that you're headed in the right direction.
Yes, sir.
You know, have you ever got, you know, lost in the woods or how about on the road? I've been lost in Europe on the road, not know where to go. One day, Dad got lost up when I was a little boy. He got lost in New York City. And we found ourselves in the Bronx. And then we found ourselves in the ghetto with an Alabama tag. And I'm not kidding you. People started throwing. Now, this was back in the 70s, okay? Just dated myself there. But this is the truth. They started throwing cans and bottles at our car. And just to be honest, there's a little bit of uncomfortableness there. And when I see the terror on Dad's face trying to figure out, there's no GPS, there's no phone. The map, New York City, never been there before. So what do the boys do? We crawl in the floorboard. When you're not sure where you're headed, life is scary. Do you know how many people are living their lives and they don't know where they're going? They don't know if they're going or if they're coming. I understand guiding us into the truth of the Word of God and teaching us all things and bringing all things into remembrance. I understand that. The Spirit of God teaches you the Bible. But He also teaches you the direction that your life is supposed to go. He is a guide. This way. There is comfort in knowing you're going the right way. The world's going the wrong way. And God doesn't want us to be double-minded. A double-minded man is unstable in all the way. Well, should I do this? Should I do that? Should I do the other thing? If we have the right relationship with the Spirit of God, He guides us into all truth. He leads us. He never leads us to disobey the truth. He leads us in a character of life as well as proper doctrine. But what comfort it is. And then He says there, He'll show you things to come. Now that doesn't mean He'll make you a fortune teller. But He'll tell you about something that's coming. You know what He says down there in verse, you can read it, verse 18 to 22. Jesus is talking to them about going away. But you know what He tells them? He tells them He's going to come back. In other words, He's telling about things to come. He said in verse 22, "And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again. And your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you." He says, listen, that comfort I've given you is going to constantly remind you about things to come. He's going to point you to the future. You know what misery is? Looking at your past all the time. You know what's scary? You know what's scary? Looking at the present sometimes. But you know what's comforting? To be able to look at things to come.
Yeah.
And you know who wins.
Amen.
And you know where you're going to be.
Amen.
And you know how it's all going to turn out. And your joy, no man take it from you. And Jesus is coming. And He's going to win. He will be the King of the world. And there's no devil. There's no politics. There's no world that can stop it. And the Holy Ghost, you know what He does? He comforts your heart. We live in a world so mixed up, crazy, all going to the devil. And the Comforter said, it's all right. It's going to work out to come. But when I'm not walking in the Spirit, I'm not thinking about things to come. I'm thinking about this thing I can't get over. Guys, there's not one thing in your life that a trip to the third heaven's not going to take care of. And it's going to be forever. And the Spirit of God is trying to put our minds on things above and on things to come. It's the benefit. And if we'll walk in the Spirit, the Spirit of God will constantly be pointing us to that truth. Mark it down. Somebody that's always talking about how bad it is not walking in the Spirit. And sometimes, hey, I don't walk in the Spirit all the time. Sometimes I hit the pause button. Do you know what happens when the Holy Ghost is pointing you to things to come and comforting your heart? You know what you start doing? You start living for things ahead instead of living for things now. And it brings such comfort. Well, he says in verse 13, I got to hurry. He says, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself. Verse 14, He shall glorify Me. In other words, the Holy Ghost, when He is doing His work of comforting, it's constantly pointing to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's constantly lifting up and glorifying the Son of God, the Lord Jesus, and He doesn't even speak about Him. He doesn't speak about Himself. You see that? That's how we knew the charismatic movement was all bunk. If all you're doing is talking about the Holy Ghost, I know that's my message tonight, but it won't be the next time I get up. But the purpose of it, when the Holy Ghost, the truth of the Holy Ghost is there, He's pointing and lifting up and getting eyes focused on Jesus Christ and not Himself. Now watch it, watch it, watch it. You know, while most Christian lives are lived, they're lived with their eyes upon themselves. They're lived on my life and my problem and my work and my service. Instead of our lives being all about Jesus, they're all about us. Amen. That shows that there is not the proper relationship with the Comforter. If I'm filled with the Spirit of God, I'm looking to Him. I'm looking how He can be promoted, not how I can be helped. Not how I can be blessed. And you know the comfort of that is, guys, I'll give you quickly how you can be like Solomon and hate life. Just make it all about you.
Right.
And you'll hate life.
Amen.
You will not love life and see good days if your life is about you.
Yep.
And it takes the Spirit of God to get every one of our eyes off ourselves.
Yes, sir.
But if you can ever get your eyes off yourself and lift up Jesus and glorify Jesus and do what you do, not for you, but do it so Jesus can get a blessing and Jesus can be glorified and Jesus can be honored and Jesus can be pleased. If you'll wrap your life up in that motivation, you will be the most joyous, happy person in the world because the Comforter will make sure of it. This liberal preaching today, just lift your arms toward God and say, I'm wonderful. No, if you want help, you will lose your life.
Yes.
And you'll just think about Him.
That's right.
And you'll be so comforted.
Amen.
And you won't even have to go to psychiatrist. And you won't even have to have a raise to make yourself happy.
That's good, preacher.
And you won't even have to have all your problems solved and everything go your way to be fulfilled. The Comforter will make sure you're fulfilled. I don't have time to give the last one, but in verse 23 and 24, he talks about praying. He says, guys, when I go away, what you need to do, you need to start praying. And you can talk directly to God. And I can't overemphasize how our prayer lives. You know that Bible says in Jude 20, people don't talk about it much, talks about us praying in the Spirit. And Romans chapter 8 talks about that Spirit of God. And the intercession goes up to heaven. And there are so many prayers that the Holy Ghost is not in 25 miles of. And if I'm filled with the Spirit of God, He'll control the way I pray. And He'll wake me up to pray for somebody. And He'll put me on my knees to pray some prayers I need to pray. And He'll join my heart in communion with the Holy God. And it'll not just be words. It'll be praying in the Holy Ghost according to His will.
Amen.
And there's such comfort in that. But when you're praying, and your prayers are contrary to that one that's on the inside, it'll be hard work. Father, thank You for the benefits that come with the comfort. We pray, Lord, You'd bless and help Your people. And Lord, make these things a reality in all of our hearts, because we sure need them. And we thank You for them in Jesus' name.